Hey, everybody, you're about to listen to our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. And if you like it, please do me a favor. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. In exchange for that, I'm going to put you into a drawing for a $250 Amazon gift certificate, gift card, whatever you want to call it, gift credit, whatever it is these days. Anyway, all you have to do is leave that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot. Send it to Tony@nightmareneighbors.com. And then shortly, I'll be picking one person at random and sending you that Amazon gift card for $250. Yes, just leave the review, Apple Podcasts. That's what helps spread the word that this show exists, that people know about it. Those reviews are tremendously helpful in us getting this show off the ground. So if you like it, please leave us that review on Apple Podcasts. Send me the screenshot to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at nightmareneighbors.com, and you'll be in the drawing for that Amazon gift card. I hope you like the show. I hope you can take the 30 seconds to leave the review, and I'll get yourself in that drawing for that gift certificate. Now, without further ado, Nightmare Neighbors, everybody. What do you do when you wake up and you find bloody footprints all over your new car and your driveway and your brand new neighborhood? Yeah. Warning, or just another day in paradise?
Sometimes the people who reside just steps from your front door turn out to be the craziest you'll ever meet. Ever have a nightmare neighbor? Share your story now by calling 888-68-CRAZY or write in at nightmareneighbors.com. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
That it is. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number here on the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast. You can call that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave your story for us. Or you can go to our website, nightmareneighbors.com, and write in there as well. So lots of ways of getting your stories to the program. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day of doing a Nightmare Neighbors podcast?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
We have new neighbors.
We do.
Since recording our last episode, I think. Or did we do Nightmare Neighbors last week? Or did we do Dark Side? I think we did Dark Side.
We did Dark Side.
So this is our first time recording Nightmare Neighbors with having new neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are cows.
And I love them.
We have a cow at night that will be sitting on the front porch, and we've determined, I think he's conducting a religious ceremony with the other cows. I think he's a preacher cow, and I think he's like one of the real loud ones. Like, I think he's like a televangelist type cow or bull.
He only does it for a couple hours, and it's the same time every day.
Yeah.
But I think it's because he's looking for love in all the wrong places.
He's on one side of the road.
Yeah.
And all the ladies are on the other side of the road.
All the single ladies are on the other side of the road.
But it's funny. The noises, I've never heard a cow make such noises in my life.
Oh, he's begging for somebody to come over.
Yeah. Did you post it on Instagram?
The sound?
Yeah.
No, I didn't record the sound. Libby did.
Oh, okay.
So maybe I can get it from Libby and then we can post it. But I posted about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't post the sound. But it sounds like this cow's being slaughtered right there in the field.
It's bizarre. We walked down there. You did. Then I did the next night just to go see the spectacle of what this guy is.
He's not actually a cow. He's a bull.
And he's sitting there and he's like foaming at the mouth. And he's just making these noises left and right. And he is angry or horny or angry and horny. I don't know. But you know what? I'll take that as my neighbor any day over the people in golf carts.
Yes.
That works for me.
It's semi-entertaining. I feel bad for the guy. I mean, it's like, just get him some loving and then we'll have a baby cow around. But yeah.
I feel bad for when he does get his hooves on somebody.
Oh my God.
Because he's been pent up and he's sitting there. That's not going to end well. Like that, those other cows are going to need a lot of therapy after, after mating with this one. Cause he's like, so.
Okay.
Or he's in a televangelist. I don't know, cow. Cause it does sound like he's spreading a message every night and it's like, and it's more, I don't know. Anyway, we'd love to hear your nightmare neighbor stories. 888-68-CRAZY, 888-68-CRAZY. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever it is you are listening to us on. That way you don't miss any of our episodes. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, we moved from Glasgow in Scotland to the outskirts when I was 7. Most of the people who lived in our street were born and bred in the street or in the area itself because we weren't from there. We were instant targets, especially by two specific families. They thought that they bloody well ran the place. And I suppose to a certain extent, people allowed that to happen. I'd probably say I was the main target. These kids bullied me both at home and at school. My life was a living hell for most of the 9 years I lived there. The kids are the main culprits of the stuff that we, my family, and I suffered from. But the so-called adults also had a big hand in it, too. Some background. So this was 1988. We moved into the shithole of a village. My parents were in their late 20s, so we weren't well off by any means. My dad worked hard for the railway. My mom was a housewife and basically was there 24/7 for my sister and I. Even having a car was a luxury for us. Plus, nowadays, the area we moved to is what we would call a deprived area. We remember eggs being thrown at our windows within weeks of us moving in. We got milk delivered, and it would regularly be missing, so much so that we ended up canceling the order within a couple of months. My dad loved the car make, LADA, Lada? I don't know. I'm not familiar. Are you familiar?
I don't know.
Maybe it's one that's only over there. I do not know if you have or even heard of this company in the USA. He bought a burgundy color one, and I remember the fun of us going on day trips and family holidays to north of Scotland in it. We loved this car so much, it gave us the freedom from the shit we were going through at home. This house was what we call a council house over here. My parents hated it that much that we joined the waiting list for another house. It was a long waiting list and it takes years to get another. And because we were adequately housed, as the council said, we'd always have people above us. I remember waking one morning to my dad going absolute batshit crazy. Now, my dad is and always has been a quiet man. So as you can imagine, this was extremely unusual for him. Anyway, I found out why. As our car was burgundy, any marks show up easily on it. There were shoe prints on it. Yes, bloody shoe prints. Bad enough that they were on the boot and the bonnet, but also the roof of the car. You could clearly see the shoe prints and tread, probably even the brand of shoe, to be honest. I was telling my parents, I was writing the story to your podcast, and my parents said that it happened a lot and to different cars that we owned. So one night, my aunt and cousins were coming to visit us. It was wintertime because I remember it being dark outside. I was excited because we didn't see them all that often. Anyway, I went to my bedroom window to look out for them and caught three kids standing under my bedroom window looking in. They were caught and they ran away back to their own house across the road. These kids would also throw stones and eggs, anything really, at our windows. But my window was the middle window, so my window got it the most. I got to a point I was terrified to even go out. Constant bullying, whether it was name calling, being physically hit, or one of the older ones had a BB gun and would shoot it at me. By luck, no severe injuries, probably more mental ones if I truly think about it. My parents, but mainly mom, would step in. She'd go to the parents, and with them being total arseholes, would laugh in her face. It would always end up in a shouting match with many explicitives being used. After a certain amount of time, it got to the stage where my parents called in the police, which on some occasions ended up making the situation a whole lot worse for us all. So one morning after getting dressed for school, I was going to the living room, which had a light-colored carpet. I opened the door, and for a bloody frog was hopping into the living room. I was screaming, as it was the last thing I expected to see at 7:50 a.m. There was no way in hell that this frog could have entered the house itself, so it had been presumed to have been put through the letterbox. The most dangerous incident was one night after Guy Fawkes night, which is November 5th. I was going to my bed, and I opened the door from the living room into the hall. The hall was filled with smoke. My mom wonders to this day why the smoke detectors did not go off that night. My dad did check them afterwards, and they worked fine. My mom walked up the hill to see where the smoke was coming from. She got to the only entrance and exit of our house to find a firework had been put through the letterbox lit, probably expected to go off, but fell on the lit part, so it didn't go off. The carpet was smoldering. Terrified it could still go off, we quickly got water and threw over it. It left a huge hole in the carpet. It was scary enough, but imagine if we were all sleeping. My parents called the police, but of course we had no proof who did it, but the police had their suspicions. So as a result, nothing was done. And we're glad to finally get out of that house in 1997. I have a few more stories that I'll write in about soon. I hope both your new houses have good neighbors. You do not need to suffer the way we did. Stay safe, everyone. Love, Cat, aka the Scottish Cat on social media.
So was it just because they weren't originally from that village that they were picked on so much?
It sounds like it. I mean, just it sounds like because they were outsiders, quote unquote, that, you know, they didn't like them. And for whatever reason, that's a thing with people. You know, I get it. I don't get it, but I get it more when it's little kids acting that way. Mm-hmm. It's wrong, but little kids are little kids.
Yeah.
It's another thing when you're a grown-ass adult and acting that way or encouraging your kids to act that way.
Yeah. I have a story, but I don't know if it's show appropriate.
Oh, that's where you make it show appropriate and you edit yourself as you go along the road of your story.
Well, it sort of makes light of something that's not funny at all. And that's where I'm wondering if it's appropriate or not.
Where people may find it
offensive.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we'll err on the side of safety.
And not share. Okay.
Or you can share it with me off the air and I'll say.
Well, I told you what happened going to pick up Livy involving the mask and what I did.
Mm-hmm.
Is that appropriate or not?
Oh, in my mind it is. I mean, in my mind it's, okay, so the date, I think it's appropriate. It's it was late May when this happened. A lot of places at this, and I'm setting the scene because this is going to be airing towards July, and God knows what the world is going to look like by that point.
And my apologies if this is completely tasteless at the point that it airs, but at the point that we're recording it.
It's not. At the point, yeah. So go ahead, share your story.
So I have to, when I get Livy, her dad and I meet halfway, mm-hmm. which is in Podunkville, Eastern Kansas. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I'm going through
banjos.
Banjos big time. So I'm going through a small town in Missouri to get over to where I'm supposed to pick up Livy. And I need to stop. I needed a coffee and a potty break. And everybody knows, I've said a million times, I have asthma. So I'm going to be wearing my mask for a long time.
Yeah, you're high risk.
Yes. So everybody else in this town decided that COVID is over and they're not going to wear their mask and they're going to start mocking people that do. So I go into this gas station, and this is not just like a crappy little gas station. This is like a national chain gas station. Mm-hmm. I thought would be the safer one to go to.
Sure.
Go in, do the bathroom thing, get my coffee. I'm in line.
Number one or number two? We got to specify.
It's always number one with me.
Paint the picture.
All the time. It's the kidney stone thing, you know?
Yeah.
Got to flush.
I'm just kidding.
Flush that stone out. But anyway. Okay, everybody knows that now. So anyway, I'm in line to pay for my coffee, which probably does not help the kidney stone situation. But mm-hmm. anyway, I hear this little girl, Mommy, why is the lady wearing that thing on her face? And of course, in Southern Missouri accent, I don't know, sweetie. Some people just are overreacting and some people just feel like they have to do things to get attention. And so I stand there for a minute and then I turn around and I tell them it's so that I don't give it to you. Clarification, I do not have COVID as far as I know. And I'm not making fun of those who do.
No.
But I'm going to let them wonder for 14 days if they've been exposed and it was worth it to see them back up.
Well, that's the whole point of it. It's people don't know if they have it for 14 fucking days. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's why people wear masks. So what you said was actually pretty accurate.
But I let them think that I had it.
Okay.
And I was going in the store, and that's why I was wearing the mask. Sure. Like, I was being irresponsible and purposely exposing people, which, of course, I was not.
No.
I would never do that.
What was being irresponsible was the mother making a comment like that of, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, some people just trying to get attention, you know. It's instead of being like, well, some people are at higher risk of getting this, and she's just being safe. That would have been the responsible thing to say as a parent. But
yeah, no. Or as the responsible person I should have been, I should have said, I'm sorry, I'm high risk. If you find my mask offensive,
go fuck yourself.
No, I apologize.
I wouldn't be apologizing. I would be go fucking yourself.
I was not in that mood.
Yeah.
I was in pissed off Jenny mood. So yeah. I just let them think that I had COVID.
You know, I don't think they probably even connected those dots.
They backed up. They backed away from me. So I think they might have. They were further than the 6 feet.
Oh.
They were fuck. At 6 feet. They went a good 10.
I want to start saying this shit to everybody to keep people away forever.
I do feel bad for doing it because I know that this is not a funny thing.
Yeah. But yeah, anyhow, that was, I thought that was amusing.
Yeah.
Because they have that as of right now where no matter what the opinion is, it's like, look, you just got to respect other people. This is, you know.
The mask thing has become politicized, yeah. And it's not a statement. It's just protection.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. That's what it is. Phone number here, 888-68-CRAZY to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. We'd love to hear it. Let's go to a nightmare neighbor phone call. Hi. What's yours?
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Ashley and I'm 17 and I'm from, North Alabama, a little south of Huntsville, if you know where Huntsville is. That's a pretty big city, so it's a good landmark. But I'm calling in to tell you guys about my nightmare neighbors, actually. These are like two different sets of neighbors, and it's happened right after each other. So the first one is me and my parents. We raise pit bull, Great Pyrenees mix, and we sell them a lot of times to farm owners. Because they're herding dogs and they're used a lot of time to ward off coyotes because they're very big and they're really tough. Well, me and my parents, we raise them and sell them to like neighboring farms. Well, this is a story about, okay, so I've lived in this house since I was like 7, I want to say. So about 10, 11 years now. And I recently, me and my sister were in a car accident. So from that, we got the money and we bought a new house. It's about two cities away, thank God. But at the house that we originally lived at, we had a neighbor and he lived, not exactly a neighbor, but he lived two houses down from us, like across the street. And there was like a big field and then there was his house. And he was just a really terrible person, not just to us, but to like everyone in the neighborhood. We didn't live in a really good neighborhood, so there was like a lot of people that, like, kind of vulgar, but they did drugs, and there was a girl that, I was friends with her brother, and she wound up overdosing on heroin at his house, and you can tell he just wasn't a good guy. So, we over the couple years of living there, we had multiple of our dogs go missing, and we found out from our neighbors that lived beside us before they moved, too, that he was going around the neighborhood and shooting people's dogs just because he could. And we wound up losing, I want to say, 3 or 4 dogs. And these were really, like, expensive purebred dogs. And he wound up shooting, like, 3 or 4 of them. And his son even wound up purposefully driving into our yard to hit my dog. He was a little border collie mix, so he was a tiny dog. And their son actually floored it and drove off the road purposefully to hit the dog that was in our yard. And I was outside when I saw it because I was waiting on the bus. It was like early in the morning and he hit the dog in front of me and he almost hit me too. but the dog jumped out in front of me so that I wouldn't get hit, which was really sad, you know. But he's a terrible neighbor to everyone because, okay, so he had a dog, and we called her Betsy because she really didn't have a name. She was just like this really, she was a beagle, and she just ran around the neighborhood. And he didn't feed her, and he didn't, like, water her or anything, but we knew it was his because when he moved in, he had her. And she would just run around the neighborhood and stuff. So when she would go into heat, he would lock her up in a, like, pin in a kennel in his backyard when she would go into heat. And she wound up having, I want to say, like, 5 or 6 litters of puppies just during the time of me, like, just during the 10 years of me living there that I can remember personally seeing the puppies. She had, like, 5 or 6 litters. And so she would just run around the neighborhood, and when he locked her up, some of the male dogs in the neighborhood, they would go because, you know, dogs can smell another dog's in heat, and they would go up there. So our neighbor, who they moved, sadly, and that's the people that moved in after them is another terrible neighbor that we had. But so they had a little weedy dog, and his name was, like, Buddy, which is a really cute name for, like, all dogs. But they had him for, like, 16 years. And they had him when they first moved in, and he was, like, that was, like, her kid. That was, like, our neighbor's children. And he got out of the fence one day, and he ran up in their yard because Betsy was in heat. And this man, and I have, like, I had to help them get the dog out of there. I was, like, 16 at the time, and I was riding my bike down the road. And this man, he shot this little dachshund. It was, like, 16 years old. It was just on the edge of his property with a shotgun. Killed it. It literally blew it to pieces. And that's why our neighbors moved. So this guy, he still lives there, and he's killed a lot more dogs, and he's had multiple people, just not good neighborhood. And he personally, that I know of, has killed 5 of our dogs when we've had, like, at least 7 go missing. And he wound up, one of our dogs, his name was also Buddy, and he was just a purebred black lab, and he was, like, my best friend. Like, he was, like, 8 or 9 at the time that this happened. But our dogs were just free range because we don't live in city limits, so we don't have to have them. And none of our dogs are aggressive. And, like, everyone in the neighborhood loved my dog, Buddy. And he was just a really big, lovable dog. And he went missing one day. And I was on my way home from school, and I drive. I was on my way home from school, and this happened, I want to say, about 1.5 years ago. So I just turned, like, 16. And I was on my way home from school, and my, like, 2 houses down the road, like, the house across from his house, I broke down at their house. And I don't know, my truck just wouldn't start. So they came outside, and they were talking to me, and they asked me if my dog was okay. And I was like, oh, what do you mean? I haven't seen him. He's been gone for, like, 1 week. And they were like, oh, well, about 4 or 5 days ago, he was walking down the road, and the guy across the road from us shot him, and he ran off towards your house. We thought he would have made it home. So this guy shot and killed my dog, and he never made it home. And this dog was, like, 10 or 11. So he was an older dog, and he was just walking down the road, and he shot him because this is what this guy does. So that's pretty much all the stories I've got on that guy. But as I said earlier, the people who had the dachshund, after they moved out, we had new people move in, and these people are actually, they're, like, kind of crazy, and it's a little, like, worrying. Okay, so they have a little girl, and my sister loves her. She's adorable. She's, like, 8 or 9, and my sister, when she would get off the bus, she would walk the little girl up to her door because she just wanted to make sure she got there okay. And she was, like, a really sweet girl. Her name was Lily. And she looked like she was in, like, kindergarten or first grade. I'm not sure how old she was. But my sister would walk her to the door, and we wound up. So they had and as I said earlier, none of our dogs are aggressive. So they have a white pit bull, and he comes up to about halfway up my thigh. Like, he's a very big dog, and he's actually, like, aggressive, and he has, like, a tumor on the side of his face, so you can really, I don't know, about it, but so we had the police called one day, and they came down to our house and told us that we needed to pin in our dogs, or they were going to call animal control to come get our dogs because our dogs were reported being aggressive. None of our dogs are aggressive. I actually have one dog, and he's the scariest looking out of all of them. He's the size of a Great Pyrenees, so he comes up to about my waist, and I'm 5'3", so he comes up to about my waist. Like, he's a tall boy, and he just looks like a really big pit bull. But if you yell at him, he'll actually cry because he feels like you're mad at him. So the police came down and was like, well, you need to put all your dogs up in a fence. Next time that they're out, we're going to call animal control and have them come get them, and you won't be able to get them back. So we figured out that the neighbors who had just moved in were the ones who called the police because one of the kids in our neighborhood got attacked by a dog. So they reported it being our dog. But it turns out I talked to that kid, and it was their dog who attacked them. This kid is like 14 or 15. And their parents didn't even report it because he didn't get hurt that bad. Like, he jumped on him, and he has a couple scars on his hand and stuff now. This is like 2 or 3 months ago. But he has a couple of scars and stuff on his arm and hand now from it. But basically, this dog just jumped him. And then they called and reported that our dogs did it. So that way, they wouldn't get in trouble for their dog doing it. But yeah, their dog still gets out constantly. And he'll come down to our house, and he'll try to attack my male dog, Booger. He's the one who cries when you get mad at him. So he'll come down there, and he'll try to attack him. And they'll call the cops saying that our dogs got out and hurt their dog, when actually their dog will come into our yard, because we have an electric fence, so the dogs don't get out of it. But he'll come into our yard and attack my male dog. And then when my male dog defends himself, and the other dog shows up hurt to their house, they'll call the police and say that our dogs got out and attacked their dog, when actually their dog is the one who came down to, like, my house and did it. But, yeah, we're moving, thank God. I just bought a house. It's, like, two or three cities away. But, yeah, that's my nightmare neighbor's stories, plural. But, yeah, I'm just glad I'm living in, like, a new neighborhood, but... Either way, I love your guys' ghost podcast, and I'm super excited to listen to this one. Well, thanks, you guys. Just thanks for listening. Bye.
That's terrible. There's never any call for animal cruelty, especially, no. I mean, really a shotgun on a dachshund who's not doing anything. I think, honestly, you could call the police and he could be arrested for that kind of thing.
What is going through someone's mind? I mean, it takes a disturbed individual, I think, to be like, yep, here's what I'm going to go do. I mean, there's obviously something much deeper and wrong going on there for that to be like, yep, okay, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're, you know, simply kind of the bystander neighbor, then you have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the only solution to that situation is exactly what you said, moving.
Yeah.
And being away from it and out of it. So I'm glad that you're out of there. Thanks for calling and sharing that. Our number is 888-68-CRAZY, 888-68-CRAZY to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Our next story says, I have simply horrible, awful, selfish neighbors. Long story short, we've had to endure constant inconsiderate actions from them for years. And I've come to realize it has ruined my happiness and my relationship with my family. She stays at home all day and he works. She has friends around all the time, and they chat all day loudly and play awful music. She talks on the phone and loudspeaker in the garden or at her back door and essentially shouts at the top of her voice. She speaks a different language, so I do not know what she's saying, but I can hear the person on the phone as if they were in the room with me. They decided to put up the decking, which means they overlook us in our garden, and they have covered it with tacky ornaments, 3-foot gnomes, etc., fake plants. Fine, it is in their garden, but they put up these horrendous little wind chimes and cover things in thick plastic sheeting without tying it down so it flaps and rustles in the wind loudly. And those damn wind chimes go day in and day out with this incessant, pathetic tinkle. I very politely, probably too meekly, spoke to them in the garden last year and asked them to take the wind chimes down and to stop the plastic sheets rustling all night long and explained I could hear it and it was disturbing my sleep and I can't work and it's driving me crazy. They laughed and snarled at me, and the next day they had literally covered everything in plastic. It's been nearly 2.5 years of this and I hate it more than anything. It's driven me to the point of near insanity. I'm constantly on edge and unhappy, and I started snapping at the family and moping around the house. I wake up in the night thinking I'm hearing them. It sounds OTT, but it almost becomes an obsession. It is not just noise either. They are generally inconsiderate, nasty people. They've essentially got a dump at the end of the garden, and they put an awful makeshift fence blockade horizontally along their garden so they cannot see they are junk, but the neighbors can. I also caught him putting all his weight onto the wire fence we have between us to bend it over our garden so they can put their bins at an angle into our garden and they can flip the lids over into ours. We've jammed things into the fence so that it's bent about a foot or more into our area. There have been rats and critters down there too, and subsequent poison baits all over. When approached about that, he said, "Well, I did not see you putting rat traps down. At least I'm doing something about it." He also said we should put our own fence halfway horizontally down the garden so we did not have to see his mess. They have also got spotlights all over their garden, and we found out they have got a camera that films both our gardens and theirs. We cannot even go out and enjoy our garden when they get to spend all their damn time in theirs. My family tried having another proper conversation with him, but it ended up with him shouting and shaking in rage and intimidating my mother, who was just outrageous. I was not there and only learned about it later. The noise is worse than the visuals, though. I cannot even have the windows open in my own bedroom. I cannot get away from it, even inside my own house. I hate those wind chimes and the rustling, but they simply enrage me. Anyway, rant over, but I just do not understand how people can have neighbors politely ask them to stop making inconsistent inconsiderate noises as it's causing them misery, and then not only continue to make the noise worse. It would be so embarrassed if I learned I was causing people harm or irritating them. It's so sad how it's caused me to become so depressed and made my family think we do not have a good relationship anymore. I've lost all motivation, and I feel like I'm becoming very depressed.
I agree. I would be embarrassed if I found out that something I had was causing somebody else to be unhappy in their own home. I don't like wind chimes because I don't like noise that doesn't have to be there.
You don't like happy sounds. You don't like the
sounds.
It's
not that. It's just if I can hear wind chimes at night, there's not going to be any sleep. So I wouldn't want to do that to somebody else. I wouldn't want to cause them to be uncomfortable. And people that are like that, that don't care, that just really, they're like, well, I'm going to make it worse now that you've said something. I have no patience for people like that.
That takes a special type of asshole.
Yeah.
When you're going above and beyond and not like, oh shit, I didn't mean, you know, having that, not having the reaction of, I didn't mean that, I'm sorry. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
If your reaction to it is, how can I make this worse for you now? Mm-hmm. Especially when like unprovoked. It's one thing if it's like a constant, like they're really fucking with you and making your life miserable and now they're asking for you to be considerate. That's different.
Sure.
If they're being nice and considerate and you just happen to be doing something that's inconsiderate and you didn't realize it and you want to make it worse, that's a special type of asshole. Mm-hmm. Right there. I'm sorry to hear that. Again, that's another one of those where it's like, what do you do?
I don't know.
There's nothing is going to be on your side to make that situation better other than just getting the hell out of there. So thank you for sharing that story with us. 888-68-CRAZY is our phone number, 888-68-CRAZY, to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. We would absolutely love to hear it. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. Leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. Greatly appreciate that. Let your friends know that we exist and share your nightmare neighbor stories with us. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi. host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today, and stay safe out there.